The late morning sun was hot. I needed a bit of a break. I turned off the game path that I was following and sat down in a patch of shade under a camel thorn. I'd been following the path for about 2 hours. It was well trodden, but there were very few signs of any life on it. Game paths are actually a very good source of bush information, but I was beginning to lose faith in this one. In fact, I was beginning to lose faith that there was game in the general area. Perhaps I should turn off the path and head maybe east. I wasn't hopeful, but I had to do a little bit more exploring before I could be sure of what was going on in the area. Game paths are actually an excellent source of information in the bush. And Africa is covered, the African wilderness is covered in a lacework of pathways. Some are very small, tiny, less than a finger's breadth, made by ants or lizards. Some are a little bit bigger, wider, maybe mice or rats or ground squirrels or mongoose, and others a little bit wider still, some 10 centimeters or so, by jackal, perhaps porcupine or small antelope or pigs or hares. And then the bigger ones, which one can easily walk along, made by larger antelopes, and finally the really big lanes, often more than a meter wide, that the elephant and the rhino and the hippo make. But irrespective of the size, each one had a story. The creatures of the African wilderness have long learned that it's easier to move around along paths if they can. To move through the virgin bush at any scale consumes more energy, and it's dangerous, it's noisy, it causes groups to have to spread out, and that exposes them more to predators. So they prefer pathways. Now, these pathways mostly go unnoticed or ignored by visitors from the outside world, from the civilized world. But to me, they're a rich source of information about what is going on around me. They can fascinate me for hours on end. Some of them are short on our scale, just a few millimeters or a few hundred millimeters or a few meters. Some stretch for a few kilometers, and then the ancient migration paths can stretch over huge distances, hundreds of kilometers. Some pathways actually go somewhere, to a waterhole or an animal or a mineral lick or a favorite sunning spot or just the last bit of road to the lair or a place where it is open and safer to overnight. Others seem to lead nowhere. They start and they grow quite strong and then they disappear, like where obstacles channel movement or when a favorite grazing area is reached, or even the ancient migration routes. They are trodden out into deep furrows that wind through the bush for hundreds of kilometers. But when they reach the seasonal grazing areas, they just spread out and fade away. When I wander through the bush, I pay close attention to these pathways. Although I'm not as confident a spotter of sign and interpreter of sign as someone that have lived in the bush for a lifetime, I can read quite a lot from them. Game paths that are well trodden out but show only the odd track that are weeks or months old, like this one, says that the game does frequent the area, but for some reason they have left, and I can tell roughly how long ago. On the other hand, if the sign on the path is fresh and it's a fairly big path, I can gradually build a rough picture of the types of wildlife that move around in the area and whether they are many or just a few stragglers. And as I move through the field and encounter more paths, I can add detail to this picture. The well-used paths are free of grass and debris, and their surface is ground to a fine soil, aggregate soil, in which sign can easily be be seen and interpreted. They capture evidence of not only the animals that moved along them, but also those that had crossed them, or foraged along them, or used them for just a short distance, like, for instance, a resident leopard might do. The signs along them provide many hints about the animals that had been there. They are subtle, but they are meaningful to the experienced eye. I could, for instance, tell roughly how long an animal had been there, often what sex it was, whether it is young or mature, or whether it was in a hurry or just strolling along, or where it had taken fright and bolted off, and sometimes even whether it was pregnant or not feeling well, maybe it was sick or exhausted from thirst. And if I put this against the background of the surrounding terrain and its features, it's sometimes possible to make quite a good picture of what the animal's purpose was. I often follow the larger path to see if they converge. My hope is always that they converge toward waterholes or salt licks. If they do, I hit the jackpot. It's a treasure trove of bush information, and it's nicely concentrated in a relatively small area. I find it fascinating to spend time around the edges of waterholes, to piece together who visited and when. It's usually possible to quickly form a very good idea of what the game population in the area is, and sometimes even to get some idea of the dramas that had played out there. But this is about the paths and signs of larger animals. But equally fascinating are those made by the small creatures, the very small ones. They are as interesting and usually much more abundant than those of the larger ones. But they are hard to notice. They are so fine that it requires careful attention. One has to get down on one's knees or haunches to even make them out. Sadly, much of what they tell remains to me undecipherable and unexplained. Their makers live in a world that is rich and vibrant, but mostly invisible and unknown to all but those that live by their religion, the study of them. And even among them, very few could recognize or interpret the signs they leave in the wild. And that makes these small creatures and the interaction they might have with the larger ones, like their predators, even more fascinating. I rose to go and I looked down at the ants carrying little bundles of earth out of their nest and piling them neatly in a perfect ring around the entrance hole. It's just a few centimeters from my feet. Yes, the African wilderness is a limitless source of fascination to me.